The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, what is a scribe? Someone who studies and teaches. Scriptures command us that we are all to instruct one another in a good way and not in a wrong way. We are all really supposed to be scribes. We don't hold the office of a teacher, but we are all commanded to teach one another. And the answer there is to find your other. Next, this is a rehash of a necessity, and as the world grows colder around us, our ministry is not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In doing that, we must not only engage with the truth, but we must also proclaim the truth. Therefore, we do speak for God using His spoken and recorded word. And finally, why shouldn't the government oversee coordinating for the poor? Why shouldn't they do that? I'm going to blow your mind right here. Because they raise taxes specifically for it, and that very principle is not scriptural. Uh-oh. Did you just say that? Yes. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible declares that giving is a volunteering action, not a coercion. And we all know that in this area, the government, Judas Iscariot, kind of the keepers of the money, well, they're like kissing cousins.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. You'll see that today. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Or you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. We're Terrific T answers the phone, and that's terrific. Here's the things to remember. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Not once have we demonstrated professional radio, but it is radio. So if you have a thought, an opinion, a comment, if the Lord is working on something in your life and you want to share, if you got a question. So we had one of our faithful listeners ask a question, which I gave a brief answer to, but tomorrow I'm going to give a more in-depth answer to. If you have something that you just need prayer for, or you have a praise report, something's on your heart and you know it's important and you want to be a blessing to the body of Christ, well, then we want you to reach out to us, contact us. You can even do that for Bible trivia. Oh, wait, let's see what simple Bible trivia we have to start with. What was the woman in the Bible's name who tried to seduce a handsome slave man? What was the woman in the Bible? What was her name who tried to seduce a handsome slave man? Your only hint, Genesis is the book. There you go. Genesis. Who did that? Who tried to do that? And it didn't work out that way. All right. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out and call us, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, we definitely want you to check out the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokies. All right, keep in mind the show's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, which leaves you with only hoping it can be good. The David Spoon Experience. I want you to buckle up, little campers, because here we go. We've got our first thing we're going to be teaching on. And, oh, by the way, we are teaching Ezra. So what I did do is I switched. So yesterday, as you can tell, it was not a live show. And for those who were listening and thought it was live, no, I'm sorry. All right, so here's the bottom line. So I just switched Monday and Tuesday show so we could still do Ezra because I wanted to stay on top of it because there's some really good stuff there. Again, the last question, who is the woman who seduced the handsome slave man tried to get him to – well, she tried to seduce him, I should say, and tried to get him to sleep with her. What was her title? You don't have to have her name because I don't think they really gave her name, but she does have a title. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 is the direction you want to go. The call, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. Somebody is on the phone ready to answer, and then we're going to get into our text in Ezra. And I can tell you right now, this has to do with being a scribe, this first portion, but in a good way. So there were scribes that were working with the Pharisees, and that was not necessarily in a good way, but typically a scribe is somebody who studies and teaches. And what we're going to pull out of there is that everybody, according to Scripture, is supposed to be some form of a scribe. So what we'll do is we'll have the person, they're going to answer the question. Here we go. I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Brother David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. I could tell to you. I'm hanging in there. I'm in the Lord's hands, so we'll see what he does with me.
Yeah, I mean, just keep in mind, he can take what we think is not great stuff and make nothing but masterpieces. So that's an exciting thing to see what he's going to do for you.
There you go.
Amen, my brother. All right. So this is a classic question. The woman in the Bible tried to seduce this handsome young man. What was her title? Who was she?
She was Potiphar's wife.
That is correct, Amanda! Potiphar's wife trying to make the moves on our good friend Joe and Joseph, and that didn't work out. So Genesis 39, 1 and 7, that's where it took place. And if you really study the scripture closely, just to give you something to really kind of think is cool, her story, for the first time she told it and the second time she told it, it changes just a little bit from her first time she told it to the next time she told it because the audience changed. So she changed the story. Aha! That tells you something right there. That's something good to catch, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I know I came out of sex addiction 20 years ago and hadn't had any sex since then. And so I haven't missed it, and sex is all I wanted in my life. And, that's the power of God. Yahweh in heaven, our Father, and through his Holy Spirit can just... The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, and it just does it. If you're true in heart, it'll break it right then and there. Some people take a little while, but for me, it was just right then I got on my knees. Well, I opened up the doors of heaven, and Yahweh took away my worst enemy, which was sex at the time. So,
what a blessing that the Lord blessed you that way. Just kind of just took over and kind of gave you the grace. That's so awesome.
Yeah,
That's awesome. What a great testimony. That's so good. I love it. Good job, Ace. Good job.
All right, we love y'all. Take care of yourselves.
All right. God bless you, bro.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Very cool. See, that's just called sharing, man. That's exactly what we're talking about. See that one thing right there? Now watch this. King Artaxerxes had given a copy of the following letter to Ezra, the priest, the scribe, who studied and taught the commands and laws of the Lord to Israel. He'd given a copy of the following letter to Ezra, the priest and the scribe who studied and taught. He was a scribe. He studied and taught. What did he do? He studied and taught the commands and the laws of the Lord. For those that are wondering or you should be teaching anybody, Romans 15:14 says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. This means that we are encouraged. We don't all hold the office of a teacher, okay? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not everybody is one of those, but all of us are competent to instruct one another from what we do know, from what we have learned. And many of you are maybe just a little fearful because you're thinking, well, I don't want to be a teacher and receive a stronger judgment. Teach the truth. Don't worry about the judgment part, being a teacher. Just teach what the Lord has taught you and ask the Lord to bless it. He's not going to get mad at you for that. That's not how it works. Here's one of the things that people need to understand is that we're supposed to help and encourage and strengthen one another. Now, there's Ace talking about, hey, I had something going on, and the anointing of the Spirit of God came into my life, and at that moment, it worked. It was over. For some people, it does take longer. Some people, it doesn't take longer. But it's good to know that the Holy Spirit's working in people's lives and changing lives. And what he's done then, he'll do now. And that's been going on for ages and ages. That happened to me. So I know it's true. But we instruct one another. You encourage one another. You're all scribes. We're scribes. We study and we teach. That doesn't mean you have to have a pointer and you don't have to have a ruler and you don't have to have a chalkboard. But you do have to have a heart and you do have to care so that you can be a receiver and a giver of what the Lord brings into your life. Okay? All right, take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus 2 dogs named Levi and Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local, and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, David, this is Al.
Hi, brother. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
I just wanted to call, so I wanted to try to get this answer in.
All right. That's a good goal. I don't know if you had a chance to hear that with Matt or not, but, boy, I like that guy. He's got a, you know, he's committed to the doctrine. I love people that are committed.
I don't know. Will you put his website on Facebook or on your website?
I can put
something?
I'll put it on our website. Give them a link, and okay. I'll make sure I got to get permission because I don't want to do anything where they're not. You know, I try to be really careful, but I don't think they'll have any problem with that. So we won't take anything. It's good for apologetics, and we're going to use some of it. All right, here you go. Here you go. Here's your first one. Who had a late night visit from an angel who assured him that he would be safe aboard a storm tossed ship?
I don't think this is right, but I'm going to go with Peter.
So close. What's the other name that's really close to that?
Paul?
Yes, that's it. There he is. All right. That's in Acts chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. Before they had the shipwreck at the end there at 28, he said to relax. Everybody's going to be fine. Nobody's going to die on the ship. You're all going to end up at this island, you know. And so he was telling everybody to calm down. That's the person who had the late night visit. Now, Peter did have a visit from an angel in prison in Acts 12. So you could make an argument that that was part of the answer too, but that's why we went to the safe aboard a storm-tossed ship. That's that's where we get the definition. So good shot, though.
Very good.
Very good, my brother. You know how much I appreciate it. Good job.
Yeah, and I'll never forget that answer.
You will never forget that. Paul.
That's right.
Excellent job, my brother. I appreciate it.
All right. All right. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I sure hope y'all had a nice weekend. I'm just assuming many people did. Here's your next trivia question. How many of Jesus' brothers wrote books in the Bible? How many of Jesus' brothers wrote books of the Bible? It's the number first, and then if you can do the names. The number first and then the names. But you can do just the number if you want to. How many of Jesus' brothers wrote books in the Bible? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. So if you remember, about 2 weeks ago, I had these really spiffy comments from certain people about the Bible. So I found a few more. And so I'm going to do these. It'd be really hard just to buzz them or to bing them. So I might just say, if you like one, you really like one, let me know which one you like, because I'm just going to read through them so you don't have to kind of respond to them. But some of these are pretty good. A lot of these had to do with the Bible in people's lives. They're little sayings. So here's something that was interestingly said by a world leader. I was thinking about how many people seem to read the Bible a whole lot more as they get older, and then it dawned on me they're cramming for their final exam. All right. No man ever believes that the Bible means what it says. He's always convinced that it says what he thinks it means. That's pretty good, too. All right. This is I will give this one. This is hilarious. This is from Ronald Reagan. I'm just going to say it because it's hilarious. I've wondered at times when what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through Congress. That's hilarious. Oh, that's pretty funny. And then there's two other ones. One, Christianity is the strangest religion ever set up, for it committed a murder upon Jesus in order to redeem mankind for the sin of eating an apple. That's a joke. It's a humorist. A humorist wrote that. And then this I just thought was as politically incorrect as you could ever get. This is a senator in our Gurman said, it's time for the Arabs and the Jews to sit down and settle their dispute in the true Christian spirit. It's like, choom, there goes the airplane right over their head. I thought they were kind of cute. What do you think? They're not that bad.
No, they weren't bad. The Ronald Reagan one was funny.
That's hilarious, isn't it? Right? What would that look like? Stuff like that's just, it's just gold. All right. I forgot what we were asking. Oh, yeah. How many of Jesus' brothers wrote books in the Bible? If you think you know the answer, you want to call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. I want to go back to this text. In this part right here, this isn't even the political stuff. That's what's so funny. In the next segment, I'm going to do this little political stuff. And you know I'm not doing it for the sake of politics. I'm just going to read you what it says, and you can figure out from what it says. This is the other description about Ezra, the priest, and I want to bring this up because of what has happened very recently. This says, greetings from Artaxerxes, the King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law of the God of heaven. One of the things that we miss is that you and I are considered priests. If you look at First Peter, you know that First Peter calls us a holy priesthood, a special nation, a royal priesthood, a special people. And one of the things that's missed is in a typical position, the Old Testament definition of a priest is somebody who represents God to man and man to God. That's why Jesus is the high priest that never gets off the office, because he represents man to God and God to man. And he's the high priest, the highest position you can be in, and he never pulls out of his functioning or his priesthood. Okay? So that helps you understand how that goes. But one of the things that takes place in our society is in culture. Culture demands that people yield to the movement of the day. And so they'll say, our culture will teach this. So, for example, 100 years ago, our culture was very much against certain progressive technologies. Now we're 100 years later, and we can't live without those technologies. Most of you have iPhones, iPads, i this, i that. The only problem with that is it's kind of become the I generation, which is not good, because that means it's I, not a great thing. Here's the bottom line to that, though. There are representatives of every culture. There are people that are ambassadors of each group. And Ezra was considered a teacher of the law of the God of heaven. He, in fact, represented God as a priest and as an ambassador, and especially in this situation in Ezra, he was functioning as an ambassador and as an almost like a governorship position, but not quite the way that Nehemiah was. Here's the bottom line. You're that. You are like that. You are a priest of the Most High God. No, don't talk to me about the Catholic Church and how they do priests. I don't care. I care what the Scripture says. And here's what the Scripture says, that the believers in Jesus Christ are a royal priesthood. That's you. Do you believe in Jesus? You're a part of that royal priesthood. That means that you represent God to people and people to God. What does that mean? That means that, as you know, in the passages, it says you're an ambassador. You're a representative of a foreign land, a different land. What land is that? The land of heaven. And Ezra is a teacher of the law of the God of heaven, and you are a priest of the God of heaven, and you represent heaven, and you represent the position of heaven and the declarations of heaven, and what you have to say reflects heaven. You speak for God, period. I know. I've watched it on television numerous times to even the most seasoned professionals, and the person will go, what are you trying to speak for God? The answer should always be, yes, I speak for God. I know how to read. He knows how to write. That's how we do it. And there shouldn't be any apology. There's an apologetic tour going on in Christianity for speaking the truth. It's like, that ain't going to happen. If you're a genuine Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you don't apologize for the truth. You don't speak the truth arrogantly. It doesn't make you superior outside of what God puts upon you. In other words, you're not superior by yourself. It doesn't mean that you do it with such an audacious type of spirit that you've got this holier-than-thou attitude, because Jesus approached in mercy and compassion and grace, but he still told the truth. You represent the truth. You speak for God. And you should never be ashamed. That's our, you know, we have our DNA, draw closer to the Lord, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, and always be ready to serve. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus and his words, or he'll be ashamed of you. That's not an option. This isn't the part of Christianity where you go, well, I really like this buffet Christianity thing. Ooh, I like this. Ooh, I like this. Ooh, I'm not going to have any of that. That's me speaking truth. People won't like me. It's like, that ain't going to happen. Now, we've got somebody calling in, and we'll jump on that in just a second, but I want to make sure you understand that differential. You speak for God, whether they like it or not. Here's the bottom line. Just answer these two questions. God created the universe, right? Can he write a book? Great. Can you read it? Great. Do you believe it? Great. Or three questions. All right, then speak it. That's not even going to make that complex. That's as simple as you can get. You represent him, know what he has to say, and represent it. That's the extent of it. All right, do we have somebody calling in on the trivia? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Oh, I got something for you tomorrow. I've got a more full answer to your other question that you asked last week. So
Also, I wanted to thank you for that, too, because it really made me think.
Yeah, there you go. That little bit, that's just a little bit. Wait till you see what I got for you tomorrow. I think it'll really help you go, whoa. It's really a good a good piece. So I'm really glad you asked that. And what I like doing is answering the questions like on the top and then going back underneath and going into the depth. That's kind of the fun of it all.
Okay.
That's for me. I'm just a little weird. All right. You ready? You ready for the trivia? Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. How many of Jesus' brothers wrote books in the Bible?
I'm just guessing, but I think it was two.
That is correct.
Really?
Yep. Do you remember which two?
I think it was Jude.
Uh-huh.
And James.
Yes! Correct on both! Yes!
Yay!
Excellent job. And what's amazing is that, first of all, James, people don't realize how influential he was. Just pick up Acts 15, and it shows you how much authority and wisdom and power he had, you know, in making the ultimate decisions on certain things. And then Jude was also a brother. He didn't write as much and probably was not to the same level James was. But that's two, and that's pretty good. And they're both in the New Testament. That's not bad. Especially because before they didn't believe, but after the resurrection, they became a part of it all. See that?
No doubt.
The resurrection changes everything for everybody, doesn't it?
I mean, yes, sir.
He gets up. It's like, okay, everything he said is true. Let's change the game. Excellent job.
Awesome.
Excellent work. And then don't forget to listen tomorrow, okay?
Y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Do we handle that? What do we got, about 40 seconds? All right, so let me just wrap this up. So why I'm saying all that, people are like going, well, why are you saying that? I am telling you, this isn't even prophetic. I don't even have to be prophetic to tell you this, only because it's prophetically written. It's going to become harder and harder and harder for Christians to speak about any of it. So we need to know it. Because you're going to have to, at some point, if you're required to, choose between the kingdom of men and the kingdom of God. From which kingdom or for which kingdom will you speak? That's a fair question to ask. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The word gospel means good news. Now, that's fun. That's funny in the sense that when people think of God, they always think of judgment and wrath. But the fact of the matter is God even creating us gives us a sense of understanding that there is a commitment, a love, a connection to us. And that is, get ready, good. That's a good thing. So if you take a look around, right? Just take a little look around. If you watch television, listen to the radio, like us, search the internet, get on Facebook, read magazines. The one thing that you're going to notice that there is very little gospel or good news in the world. You want to know why? One, good news doesn't sell. So let's just be honest, right? If you've been in media for any length of time, you know if it bleeds, it leads. That's the mindset. And it has to do with money. It has to do with power. So that power, that money, that influence, which actually has a demonic origin, but that all is connected towards not good news. Because not good news means that you'll be paying attention because there's so much going on. In fact, there's a fear, a terror, an anxiety, a doubt, even a doom that's within the world. And here's the kicker. If you are personally experiencing these diseases in your life, it's likely that you and I are allowing foul influences of the world to affect us. But Jesus brought a different slant on life. In John 14, 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Well, why not as the world gives? Because everything the world gives is a lie. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When we live our lives more freely from trouble, it means that we're walking more closely with the King of Kings. He wants us to be free from fear and trouble in the worldly sense. So the question is, how is our heart doing? How are we doing on the inside? Are we free or are we in bondages? Because remember, Jesus did come to set the captives free, right? In Psalm 112, verse 7, King David writes, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. We need to be free from troubled and fearful hearts.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What does that mean, infamous?
Oh, Dusty. Infamous is when you're more than famous. This man, El Guapo, is not just famous, he's infamous.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Probably a few people are like going, what was that last clip? I'm not telling you. Would you say a plethora? Okay, anyway, how many years, here's your trivia question, how many years were the Israelites in bondage as slaves? Now, it is the top answer in your head, so don't overthink it. Not how many years were the Israelites in Egypt, how many years were the Israelites in bondage as slaves? There's a difference. If you are not sure, we'll get you the answer. If you think you know, you can call in, by the way, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, okay? Or you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That could also get through. Speaking of which, let's do the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, keep in mind that I was not asking a trick question when I said how long were the children of Israel. I just don't want you to mix up how long they were in Egypt and then how long they were in bondage. That's the difference there. And I will give you a hint. Your answer is in Genesis 15, but you got to look it up. It's also History Day, so we ready for a little bit of history? You ready for it? Let's play our history song.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple things to tell you. Today is Umbrella Cover Day. That's good if it's raining. Wouldn't you think it'd be like the first, maybe like it's July, the first day it rains would be then umbrella covered. I don't know. National Air Traffic Control Day. Now, most people will think, well, big deal about that. Actually, my sister-in-law's son is my wife's nephew, right? Yeah, is an air traffic controller. And he was in Arizona. I can't think if I think he moved since then. Boy, he just his whole life just doing great. No, he's in Arizona because they just got a house. Okay. It's National Fried Chicken Day. Here's a quick question. Popeyes, KFC, or churches, or any preference? Do you like any preference of those? You thinking? Nah. None of them? You don't like any of them? Did you remember when KFC had the barbecue, the spicy barbecue? I love that.
I had a bad experience with, like, KFC.
Really? Mm-hmm. That would bring an end to it right there. I don't know anybody that hasn't had at least one bad experience with Taco Bell. I don't know anybody.
Me neither. That's why I love Taco Bell.
My wife loves Taco Bell. It's so funny. I'm not even going to go down that road. Okay. Also, the dollar on this day in 1785 became the monetary unit for the United States. Who knew? Also in 1787 on this day, the first U.S. coin. The design of the 1 cent coin is approved by Continental Congress. They don't use pennies very often anymore, so I would just leave that there. And then finally, 1933 on this day, first Major League All-Star Baseball game took place at Kaminsky Park, National League against the American League. American League won 4-2. That was in 1933. That's that. All right, we covered that. We got the trivia question, so if you think you know the answer, how many years were the Israelites in bondage as slaves? If you think you know the answer, you can call us 972-445-0770 or text us at 214-210-8483. And now I have to give a warning. Is that bad? Do we have a warning? There we go. I forgot about that. That's a good one. I am going to read something. You're not going to all like it. I understand that. You don't have to agree with it. You've never had to agree with anything on this show since we started that I can think of. But I'm going to read this, and you're going to see I have a different take on a certain element here. This is out of Ezra chapter 7, and this will be verse 13. I decree that any of the people of Israel in my kingdom, including the priests and the Levites, may volunteer to return to Jerusalem with you. And my council of seven hereby instruct you to conduct an inquiry into the situation in Judah and Jerusalem based on God's law, which is in your hands. We also commission you to take with you silver and gold, which we are freely presenting as an offering to the God of Israel who lives in Jerusalem. Moreover, you are to take any silver and gold which you may obtain from the province of Babylon, as well as the free will offering of the people and the priests that are presented for the temple of their God. These donations are to be used specifically. We'll get into the specific use of donations, but I want to talk to you about something that is dangerous in our midst, and it's just something you just got to kind of recognize, not freak out about. But the reason that there's difficulty in governments using requirements to take care of certain things, more specifically the poor, more specifically charitable issues, is simply because giving to the kingdom of God, giving to the poor, should be voluntary. It's not, I'm not trying to make any, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. I know there's good people in government. Don't get the wrong idea. But it should be a voluntary process, a free will process, a give from your heart process that we would share with one another. It should not be a coercion or a requirement. It's not just America. It's every country that does the same kind of thing in the name of being decent, takes money and then directs it in certain places. And it's good that if it actually gets directed, it's a good thing. But as many people know, in many situations, the money doesn't get directed where it's supposed to go. And that's not bizarre. That goes way back. Even in the time when Jesus had 12 disciples, Judas was the one who carried the bag. He's the one that objected to the woman who broke the perfume and put it over Jesus. And the reason he objected is because he was the keeper of the bag and he would take the money for himself. And he was mad because she broke the perfume and he didn't sell it, there was less from him for him to take. That spirit's been going on for thousands of years. And what we should be aware of, and what we should be aware of in our own lives, is when you give, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a person who's got the right attitude in giving. Coerced giving is the worst giving, period. And I understand that we need finances for certain projects, and I'm not objecting to that. I actually don't have objection. I think Jesus made a distinction there. I think we give unto Caesar what's Caesar's and unto God what is God's. But in this realm of giving or taking care of the poor, or acting like Jesus, one of the things that's happened is many governments acting like they care about Jesus take money from people. And it's like, it's not just phony, it's so phony. One of the things that I like in the Christian world that has come up are some of the people that evaluate are willing enough where they're given their organizations, they show how much money is going to different things. I used to work with a couple of charities in San Diego. 96 cents out of every dollar went to the cause. Okay. 3 cents, 4 cents for administration. Got it. Okay. But when you have a dollar that's being given and 93% of that is administration and 7 cents is for the cause, come on. Who's kidding who? That's just robbery. And what bothers me is whenever people are coerced to give. There's a big blessing in giving. You know, we have people in our show that give larger amounts and smaller amounts. I mean, it goes from a dollar to more. Okay, it goes from a dollar to even up to – we've had somebody give $1,000 like a couple times, right? Which is a lot, right? But they give it of their own free will as the Lord leads them, and we pray that the Lord blesses them for their giving. And as you know, if a person gives sparingly, they reap sparingly. If they sow, you sow what you reap what you sow. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to give generously. That's God's principle. It's not mine. I didn't invent that. But people that give because they want to. That spirit of giving. That's what we should promote in the church. That's what churches should promote. That's what Christians should promote. That's the joy that God is talking about when you're giving. I know there's tons of arguments in regards to tithes and curses and so on and so forth. You know what God's looking for? Cheerful giving. That when you give, your heart is like, awesome, I can give attitude. Okay, so do you understand that difference between, here comes the plate. There goes my Jack in the Box for this. It's like, don't do that. If you're going to give God grumpy money, just keep it. God doesn't need your money, but he does need your heart. And if your heart is right before God, you'll give with that heart. So I do have an opposition to that. You don't hear me talk about that often, do you? I mean, I think there's a first time I talk about it. I don't like coercion in giving. I don't like it from the church. I don't like ministers who say, give, and that's the only way you can be blessed. I think those people should be not allowed to ever teach again in the name of the kingdom. But then again, Satan comes off as an angel of light, so I can't say much about it. Here's what I can say. Know the truth, have the right spirit, and do it in the right way. When you give, have the right heart about giving, okay? Have the right spirit, okay? It's fair? Okay. How many years were the Israelites in bondage as slaves? The answer is 400 years. Very good for Cordelia and then for Joanne, who quoted the reference. It's Genesis 15:13. That was not the total time they were in Egypt, but that was how long they were in bondage. A little different right there. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know His word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Got a really tough trivia question. Okay? All right. Nobody get mad at me. Okay. Solomon said that something biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. What was it? What's he talking about? Solomon said that something biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. What was it? Proverbs 23. That's your only hint. You got to look from that point. If you think you know the answer right off the bat, you can call 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email in David at HeMustIncrease.org. All right, we have a Greek word that we have for today. Hopefully it will be a blessing for you. I certainly hope so. All right, let's do our Greek music.
I still think that's funny.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The word that we're looking at is appears, which is phaneroo. This just sounds like something I would say. He's a phaneroo of that thing. Phaneroo. Phaneroo means to lay bare, to reveal, to uncover, to make visible, to make known what has been hidden or unknown, to make clear. Phaneroo. Phaneroo. Some people say phaneroo, but phaneroo appears is the word, Greek word, to say, to lay bare, to reveal, to uncover, to make visible. That's when it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall phaneroo. He shall reveal, uncover, make visible, make known what has been hidden. Okay? There you go. You are all the more smarter if you can remember that. I probably won't remember that, but if you can remember that, that would be good. Again, our trivia question, Solomon says, something biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Ooh, adder. If you think you know the answer, you can text in or you can call in. Either way, that can work for you. I just want to finish up on this thing because to me, as the show is growing a little bit and we have more people giving, I want to make sure that everybody understands, and it's very important to understand what we're doing and how we're doing it. And that's why I just find this timing amazing in Ezra. The next portion that I didn't finish up on that I want to finish up on is this out of Ezra chapter 8, verse 16. Moreover, you're also to take any silver and gold that you may obtain from the, as well as freewill offerings from the people and the priests that are presented for the temple of God in Jerusalem. These donations are to be used specifically for the purchase of bulls, rams, lambs, and the appropriate grain offering and drink offering, which will be offered at the altar of the temple of your God in Jerusalem. Okay. This is important. If you're attending a church, all right, and you are a part of that, there is an important element that you need to consider, and that is that the church that the Lord has led you to, I'm assuming you go there because God has brought you there, that the church that you're attending, that you're going to, is a place that the Lord has brought you to, and he didn't bring you there so you can be entertained. He brought you there to be a member of, a part of, somebody who connects in. Now, at a minimum, if you do praying, that's fine. Okay, it's not a problem. Or if you're a volunteer in teaching, or if you're a volunteer in any other capacity, or if they need hosts or people like that, then don't hesitate to participate in that. Now, we do have somebody calling in on the trivia. We'll get that in a split second. But here's what I wanted to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the designation of funds. And then I'll say it, and then I'll try and let it go right afterwards. When you give and you specifically designate where you want those funds to go, that's actually a good thing and not a bad thing. It's not that you don't trust the leadership, okay? If you don't trust the leadership, you shouldn't be at the church. But it's that you, in your walk with the Lord, believe that the money should be going in a particular direction, a specific use. And that, in this portion of Ezra, is what's being talked about. The donations are being used specifically for something. One of the things that just happened to Noelle and I, which I thought was really cool, hasn't happened before, is we were in church and they started talking about the church camp. And they were talking about the church camp, and the church camp was more money than normal because of all the COVID stuff and stuff like that. And we thought, you know, we really want to give to that. We don't want to take away from the church, but we really feel in our hearts that to give specifically there is a good idea. At our church, you have the ability to direct the funds. If your church offers you that opportunity, take advantage of it or use it, because what we've been doing is praying for that specific funds to be used in such a way as to help people. And in our case, it's for the youth camp, and it was just like 150 more than normal. So we tried to cover a bunch of kids on the more than normal stuff, and it worked out great. And they had three times as many kids go as is normal. And we get to share in that. And that makes you connect more to the church and become more connected to the body. It's not that you don't trust the people who are in church. Of course you trust them. Of course you believe if you give to a general fund, they'll use it wisely. But also be sensitive enough to know that if there's a specific direction for your funds, you should respond to that in obedience to God. I am telling you that puts you just that much more connected to your church family, that you're helping and directing and participating that way. I highly encourage that. If anybody ever does that with us, we immediately do exactly what they're asking, because it's just nice that people are giving and we appreciate it. So I just want to say, don't hesitate to direct funds. It's not that you don't trust your teachers or your leaders. It's just that if the Lord puts it on your heart, make sure it gets there. After all, you're the steward, and he'll ask you about it, okay? Really important. All right, somebody ready to answer that trivia question? Well, I've just been Mr. Practical today. I don't know. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, it's Samson. How are you?
Good, Samson. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, all right. Now, this is a classic question, and a lot of people know it, but they don't want to admit it. Which is kind of funny. Solomon said,
I didn't know, but I glanced through with my power reading. I mean, glancing.
Okay. So you looked it up. Good call. All right. So what biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder?
It's like an unsanctified wine.
That is my brother. Wine. And we're not talking about the kind of complaining.
Yeah.
We're not talking about when my kids complain, we'd go, you want some wine with that? You want some cheese with that wine? I mean, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is sometimes, Jesus drank wine. That's not the problem. People can overgo, and they need to not go there if that's going to happen. They just need to pull it back a tad. That's where it needs to go. But that's what he said. Biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And most people know that, especially from the next day.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of life. Good job. How you doing in general, bro?
I'm doing okay. Just tired, but okay.
Well, let me pray for you that the Lord will help renew your strength.
Yeah, well, especially pray, I think on my blood work, it shows like there's a little deficiency of vitamin C or something. So I'm taking a supplement, like an iron or something.
Okay.
So just pray that Lord will supernaturally help me and also help me not to eat junk food.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. All right, I'm going to pray for you, though, more than me. Let me pray. Let me pray for you, okay? Father, okay. We come before you right now. We lift up our brother to you. We simply ask that you would help his body to produce all the things that it is supposed to produce. Now, Lord, we sometimes do our body disservice and put stuff inside us that we shouldn't. I confess that. He confesses that. All of us confess that. We ask for your help to do a better job of taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you that you would give him replenishment and energy and vitality, since you are the creator of life and can simply bless and watch over him in that way. And then, Lord, let him be a good steward with the body you've given him and do a good job of honoring you with it and protecting it, and give him all the strength he needs to accomplish that in his heart and in his mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen, my brother. We love you in the Lord. You know that well, right?
Well, that I do know that.
I'm so glad to hear that, bro.
And I love you too, brother.
All right. God bless you.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye.
And shalom.
Shalom. All right. Biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Wine. That's right. And not the kind where your kids are complaining and you say you want cheese with that. No. You want cheese with that wine? That used to be our famous line. All right, so today, a little more practical on some of the teaching and stuff, but I think it's important, especially as we are a ministry that receives. If you've got something designated, we want to make sure you do it as the Lord is putting it on your heart. You and I have a responsibility to stand before the Lord with everything he's granted us, and we will give an account for that. And why that's important is because you want to give that account with the right heart, the right spirit, the right way. Right? You don't want to be, you don't want to, I told you to direct it here. Oh, I didn't know. It's like, yes, you do. So let's just do that together. We can do that kind of thing together. And it's not just for here by any means. I'm talking about your church. I would rather you give specifically to your church and specifically designate where it is. That will connect you to your church that much more. That will help you get over some of that distance because you become a part of it. Got it? All right. All right, let me pray for everybody. Lord, bless everybody this week. Don't let them be overwhelmed by any of the goofy stuff that goes all around them. We just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, with help from the Holy Spirit, that our fellowship with you and with one another would be sweet, and we would reflect the glory of God in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.